Hey, this is Dale Gentry reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now, 18 hours of continuous preaching continues with Roy Beard. Another timely message from Roy Beard. Now here's Roy.
Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries, and this time together it's our purpose to help you understand God's covenants, help you understand your position and place and privilege and authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to help you become a more powerful witness for His kingdom and enhanced in your ability to pray and more knowledgeable in the things of Almighty God. So I'm Roy Beard, the founder and president of Covenant Life Ministries. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you again. I hope you have a Bible with you. If you do, turn to Psalms 129. The first verse said, "Many times they've persecuted me from my youth up." Let Israel now say, "Many times they've persecuted me from my youth up. Yet they've not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed my back. They lengthened their furrows. The Lord is gracious. He has cut in two the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turn backward. Let them be like grass upon the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, or the binder of sheaves his bosom, nor do those who pass by say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.'" Father, thank you for your word, your promises. Help us to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit both to speak and to hear and understand what you're trying to convey to us, that we might walk in the fullness that you purpose for us. We ask that in Jesus' name. I want to talk about a part of covenant that probably a lot of people don't really understand. Many do, and I'm thankful for that, and I believe that it's a growing understanding. And as it grows, I believe that the New Testament church will become more of what God has intended for it to be. We'll become more like the first century church, the New Testament church. We'll become more of the body of Christ expressed and demonstrated in the world, because we're living in a very, very, very critical time in human history. And I believe that it's absolutely vital that we come to the place that we can see and we can understand and literally walk in and walk out the covenant of God. I believe that it's clear in the Bible, in Scripture, that the church that Jesus is coming back for is a fully matured, fully developed bride. We're not hiding in the corner holding the fort till he comes. No, we're a marching army. We are a fully developed, fully mature, fully armed, fully powerful body of Christ, an army of God. And if the church, the body of Christ, is ever going to be all that Jesus has called us to be, we absolutely must become covenant people. Now, I believe that with all of my heart. Some people tell me, "Roy, that's all you preach on is covenant." Well, it's not, but it's a lot of what I do preach and talk about, because I have come to the place that I understand the power and the importance of God's covenant with man. And this is an element of covenant that I think too many times we've missed, and I want to spend some time in it with you and hope that I can bring you and help you come to the place that the Holy Spirit will use me to inspire you to move into a deeper place in God and expand your horizons, enlarge your borders, and enlarge your expectations and your hope. I pray to God that we will begin to appropriate the promises of God and realize that the devil's been sitting on some of our promises, and it's time we evict him and take back what God said we could have. Now, in all of this, I'm not talking about God becoming our Santa Claus. He's not our candy store. He's not our mail order catalog. He's not Amazon. He's not our wish provider. He's not a genie. No, I'm talking about total Christianity. I'm talking about being completely complete and fully mature as believers who are manifesting, not just representing, but manifesting Jesus on this earth. And that's only, and I believe it's only realized through an understanding and an acceptance and an embracing and a working into, walking into covenant, realizing the covenant of God. It's God on His throne in our lives and in His universe, and man, you and I, submitted in love, doulos, his bond slaves by choice to His divine will and His divine purpose. It's the life in the supernatural as natural. You see, what we call supernatural, God calls natural. It's natural to Him. And He wants us to move into that place to where we live in kingdom principles. And we, as we pray in Matthew 6, Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what I want. That's what you want. That's what we should want. It's impossible to cover what I want to talk about in one single sermon. It's not possible. So I make no apologies for having to break this up into more than one meeting, more than one time. But in order to give you something beneficial, which I pray will whet your appetite and spur you on to some serious study on your own, I'm going to address the very key thing to covenant living, the blessing. You'll hear me use that term many, many times, the blessing. And I want to explain what it means as I understand it. It's my desire to deal with this vehicle that puts the covenant into motion, into action, the blessing. That's what it is. That's the vehicle. And to me, it was an incredible understanding. And I call it a revelation because that's what it was. God revealed it to me. It wasn't new, but it was new to me. And if we truly grasp what this is all about, I believe it will transform your life and my life completely. If we ever see this, truly see it, we will never be the same again. It will both compel and propel us to walk in the fullness and demonstration of God's power and manifest His love and perpetuate His kingdom in a way that we have never before dreamed was possible outside of biblical times. It'll move us into a realm we've never experienced. I'm firmly convinced. I am absolutely 100% convinced from Scripture that it's God's desire to bless us. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's God's desire. I'm absolutely 100% convinced that it's the desire of God to bless us. He wants to bless us. He's not running around as an ogre looking to see when we step out of line where He can whack us good upside the head. No. And to accomplish fully the blessings of God and being who we are, there has to be a tearing down of some sacred cows in our lives, some idols, if you will, and a building up and replacing them with something. I went through a metamorphosis a number of years ago spiritually, and what God literally stripped me of my theology, and He replaced it. No, He didn't get rid of everything, and He put back many things that I'd believed and many things that you believe, but there were some things that the Lord said, "This is not right." And I wanted to move into the fullness of God. If you look at Psalm 129, that entire psalm is spoken against the enemies of the people of God. In verse 5, it said, "May all who hate Zion be put to shame." That's important. To the Hebrew, that's the finale of the terrible things that will happen to those that oppose the people of God. There's nothing worse than this to the Hebrew in Scripture. In Psalms 129:8, it said, "Nor do those who pass by say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.'" Now, I want you to hear me very carefully. To an Israelite, to a person living in Israel, to an Israeli, that was the peak of being a person in the people of God. It was the peak of being a member of the family of God, that when you met another person of the people of God, they would say to you, "The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." And the worst possible thing that could happen for those that are outside of the people of God is that nobody would say, "Bless you." Nobody would say, "The blessings of the Lord be upon you." And to our Western mind, that's absolutely, it means little. It means very little, if anything, because we say, "Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you," and we don't expect one thing to happen necessarily when we say that. It's just a greeting to most Westerners. It's just a greeting, but it's much more than that in the Bible. It's much more than that to the Hebrews. It's much more than that to God. That's why I find this such a fascinating subject, and my objective is to show you what it means to walk and the blessings of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron, to his son, saying, Thus shall you bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So shall they invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them.'" The blessing, in a sense, is the very subject of Scripture. Actually, covenant is the subject of Scripture, because in covenant is salvation and everything that we have. But always attached to the covenants of God is the blessing. The blessing is where the covenant goes into action. And there's some things I want to say about that that I believe will be powerful for you, and I certainly hope they will. We can receive the gospel. We can enjoy the benefits of the gospel, but we will never fully understand the gospel and walk in the fullness of the gospel until we understand this truth, the blessing. And in order to get this, we have to go back to the garden. I'm always going back to the garden because I believe Genesis is the seed book of the Bible. In the first 12 to 15 chapters of Genesis, if you get them, I believe you'll get everything else right in Scripture. The first thing that God did when he created man was he blessed him. That's the first item on God's agenda when he created Adam. That was his first priority. And it, every covenant, you will find somewhere in that covenant the appendage of blessing. Now, what do we mean? Let's get down to the basics. What do we mean? What am I talking about when I use the term blessing? Well, let me spell it out in as much detail as I can. And I believe that if we truly get this, and I'm not saying you don't, because I hope this just simply expands on what you already know. It will transform our lives in a revolutionary way. In Numbers chapter 6, he tells Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, the priest, that they are to invoke the name of God on the sons of Israel, and when they do, God is going to bless them. Now, that's absolutely vital, because the real truth is only God can bless. The priests were to bless the people, but God said, "When you thus bless them, then I will bless." See, man can't communicate blessing in the ultimate sense. That would get into witchcraft. But humans do bless other humans. The priests are doing that in number 6, but they can only bless other humans with God's blessings. So therefore, God blesses me, and I can then pass on that blessing to you, but I can't pass it on to everybody. I can only pass it on to those who fall within the circle of God's direction. So in that sense, I'm limited. Only God can bless. God started it. Man can pass that blessing on within God's parameters. It's a blessing that comes from God, is ordered by God, and directed by God. Invoke. In the King James, it says put. And some others, it says call down. In the Living Bible, it said link my name. Do you get the idea? The blessing is the linking of God's name to a human being. It's calling down God's name upon a person. That's incredibly important. In the Bible, the term name speaks of the fullness of a person's character. It is the revelation of the character, who they are. And that's why we have name changes in scriptures. But here in the West, a name is just something you call somebody. Hey, Joe. Hey, Jim. Hey, Jack. We don't have any reason for that name. Most of the time, it's just a name. We're trying to think up something. People anymore are trying to think up names that are so unique, nobody's ever seen them. But the name of God means the fullest revelation of the character of God. It's who God is. It's His essential being. So to bless is to put God's name on a person, and to bless is to link God's name to human beings. It's to bless and to bring into God, the company of God's people, a revelation of who God really is. You want to know who God is? Then go to see that person. Go to see that person that's in covenant. Go to see that person that's part of the family of God. There has been a revelation of God's character in that person. They are blessed, and you'll understand who God is. That's pretty heavy, and I'm not sure most of us can carry that weight. But as a result, that person, that company of people, have come into the arena in which God plays out who He is. They are blessed. They demonstrate to the world the character of God. That's what blessing is really all about. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23, when David was describing back to God what God had done, he said, "And what one nation on earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem for Himself as a people to make a name for Himself." You heard that expression, right? Make a name for yourself. That's when a person has won his place. He's demonstrated his powers and his ability. He's accomplished. He's achieved. He has a name. He has a reputation. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "The people of God are my people, who are called by my name." You and I in the family of God are the people who are called by God's name. I hope you see that. When you think of these people, the blessed people, you immediately think of their revelation, their demonstration, their manifestation of God's character. In Isaiah 63:19, it says, "Those who are not the people of God are called those who are not called by thy name." So we're the blessed people. You and I in Jesus Christ are, in a sense, the Israel of God. Oh, I'm not trying to take anything away from natural Israel. But we have been called, we've called on God's name. We've called on the revelation of His character that came to us in Jesus Christ at salvation. And we've called on that name, and He's placed that name in us and on us and through us. There is the revelation of God that lives in us and is manifested in us of what kind of God He really is. We are epistles known and read of men. That's why it's so important that we become everything God said we could be and we should be. Now here it is. The priests were to bless the people. They were human beings. And this word gets exciting to me. Human beings have been appointed by God to be the vehicle, to be the channel through which all that He is actually transmitted and placed on people. The word Yahweh, it was repeated three times. The people were to say, Yahweh bless you. Yahweh cause His face to shine upon you. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you. Understand that grammatically in the Hebrew, you don't have to do that. The second and third Yahweh is unnecessary grammatically speaking. So they were saying it not because it was necessary to be grammatically correct, but for emphasis. It's to emphasize that it's God who is blessing us. It's His initiative, His purpose, His desire, His intent to make His face shine upon the people, upon you and me. Oh, human beings are doing this. Human beings are saying it. But what they're saying it is wholly, completely, totally from God. We're simply the channels. We're simply the vessels. We're the flow through. We're the conduit. We're not witch doctors who've concocted some spell. We're those who are saying it's the God of heaven, the Almighty, the Creator of all things, Yahweh, who is blessing you. And when I hear that, I stand in absolute awe, because nothing I have, nothing I'll ever do, it's not by anything I do, it's not by anything I am, it's not by anything that I've ever accomplished, and it's only because God wills to do it that He's blessed us. In Ephesians 1, we've taken it and made a theological study about election and predestination. We've made it drier than last year's corn shuck when we do it. But when Paul wrote Ephesians 1, he was flat on his face, sobbing before God. He was saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe it that He, of His own free will, not for any reason or purpose found in man whatsoever, with no answer as to why, God has blessed us. Do you get that? Oh, what a picture. God has decided of His own free will to lavish upon you and me His blessing. I bless you, but I say it three times. It's Yahweh, it's God that's blessing you. And blessing is a fascinating word. One of the smallest words in the Bible. One of the most often used words by believers that's used by believers, but yet it's one of the biggest words in the Hebrew language in terms of what it means. Bless. The root foundation means to bow the knee. It was used in Hebrew to describe the kneeling of a camel when it received its burden. That's the idea of the word. You kneel down. Not as to grovel like a slave. It's bowing down before a person because you recognize that that person is of great worth, great value, great significance. It means that only valuable, worthy, significant people are to be blessed. Guess who that is? Anybody that receives God. Anybody that receives Jesus. It means that you've been designated as a valuable, worthy, significant person, and you're to be blessed. And the blessing was always given in a spoken word. It's sometimes translated and understood as the speaking of a good word. So to bless is to speak a good word. That's the picture of number 6. The priest, after the morning sacrifice, would hold up their hands before the people and give the blessing. That was a spoken word. And I say that to emphasize that it's not just a wish. It's not just an attitude. I can't bless you with a wish. I can't bless you with an attitude. No, no, no. It's always a premeditated word that I intend to say what I said, and I said it. I've thought about it. I've considered you. I value you as a worthy, significant person, a person of great value. Inside of me, I acknowledge that. I'm bowing. I'm going now to speak the word that I've waited heavily. I know what I'm saying. I say it out of the depths of my heart. I release it through my lips and speak it. I speak it to emphasize, and I speak it with emphasis. I speak it with understanding. I'm transmitting something to you with words. I speak to you a good word. In the Bible, I know it's not in Western thinking, But you'd better get used to it because you're the people of God, the people that belong to the Bible. And the Bible, in the Bible, it always, the blessing was always looked upon as something tangible. When those words came out of their mouths, that was something of substance. When they said, I bless you, in the biblical sense, though something is expected to happen. Literally, in the spirit realm, there is going out from me, not empty words, but the power of God attending to those words to bring to pass the intent of the words that I've spoken. It is very, very, very real. A blessed somebody, a blessed person, is someone who's received a good word, and that good word is attended to by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will bring you to the goal of that word. You remember Esau in the Bible? When he didn't get blessed, he went to his father's with tears. Obviously, this wasn't Dad just saying, well, God bless you, son. He goes with tears, begging his father, don't you have another blessing for me? And Isaac said, I'm sorry. I've already given that blessing to your brother. You understand, this is not something trifle. It's not something trite. It's not just words. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not just words. No, it's much more than words. Isaac actually transmitted something to Jacob in the blessing. His words were attended to by the power of God. It's being brought to pass by the energy, the strength, the power, the Spirit of God. Blessing was always more than an empty wish. In fact, in the New Testament, I hear it echoed in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, for it is God who worked in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The word do or work is energia. It's the very energy of God. It's the stimulation of God himself. It's God who energizes both within you, both to will and to energize his good pleasure. Do you get it? God didn't just speak the gospel to you. It's a good word that came with the power of God. And he, in his energy, will carry it to its fulfillment. The blessing, your salvation. Once God has started his work, once a blessing has been given to you, you can't stop it. Only God can stop it. He gave it. Man is the channel, the vehicle, the receptacle, but only God can stop it. Hallelujah. I've got so much more that I want to say and I need to say, but I sense in the Holy Spirit that this would be a good point for me to stop and simply say to you that are struggling right now, God has spoken a blessing over you. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you that you're going to understand if you'll join me next week and the week after. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I don't know what your need is, but whatever it is, just lift up your hearts, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and receive from God right now. Father, I ask that you would release your blessing upon every person hearing me today. I don't care if it's sickness, break that. If it's bondage, break that. If it's finances, break that. If it's direction, give them clarity. Lord, I ask that you bless them now. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, then I ask you to simply call upon him. Acknowledge the fact that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. But if you do know him, and you have a hunger and a thirst to know more about God, then I ask that you join us again next Sunday. We're going to talk more about covenant and who you are in God as a believer. Join us then. Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.